Oh, just Secretary to this ad hoc committee. I just want to introduce one or two colleagues of mine who will be serving this committee also. In fact, I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Go ahead.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Tony Silenbach. I'm a Connect advisor. I will advise this ad hoc committee.
My name is Mbuyisela Hlekiso. I'm the researcher, but for the score committee, standing committee on the Auditor General.
And then we have some of our colleagues from the House of the Deputy Speaker. Can you just introduce yourself?
From the Office on Institutions Supporting Democracy. I am with my colleague, Advocate Zweni, who has just gone out quickly, and he'll be back in this meeting as well.
Members, we are going to go right ahead with what the business of the chair is. Is there something that I'm supposed to read that deals with the election of the chair? It says, according to Rule 1 to 9 of the Rules of the National Assembly, a committee must elect one of its members as the chairperson of the committee. Are there any nominations? Mr. Molato.
Thank you, Secretary. I'm nominating Honorable Thabo Mfuma.
Supported, Chair.
Thanks, Lord. Any other nominations? There not being any other nomination. Sorry. There not being any other nomination, Mr. Mafumadi, you are elected as a chairperson of the Federal Allies Federation.
Today, I know there will be many issues that we want to talk about, but I think what has been done is basically to lay the foundation and to kickstart the process to achieve that objective of making sure that South Africa have a man or a woman who can continue the good work that has been done, which is being done by the current Auditor General. Now, the agenda as it stands, we have got only two items to deal with after the first one, which was the adoption of the chairperson.
The election.
Election. I see. I'm following what is written here. It is. They say it is adopted.
Okay.
You know, Parliament has got its own language. So is the Auditor General. Fruitless expenditure and all those kind of things, qualified and unqualified. Ordinary people, when they say qualified report, they think it's a very good report. imperative that we have, basically, is to look into the program, discussion and adoption of the program of this committee to achieve the set objective of making sure that by a certain period, and I'm told by the end of September, Sunday before the end of September, we should be able to make a recommendation of the House on the possible Auditor General that will then be forwarded to the President for accession at the end of the day. And the second item or the third item of the day will be for this committee to look into the advent that we need to make sure that by the end of this week, the South African population and the whole society has a way of interacting with this process as soon as possible. So these are the two items that I think we should be seized with at the moment. If there are any other issues that requires further deliberations, I think the committee will find a suitable time to deal with those issues. But for now, I think all of us, I consider we are all new in this committee. We still have to find out and find each other. But I think these two items will actually make it possible for us to handle all other issues pertaining to the process itself, even if we're not able to deal with these issues today in totality. And I also want to say I thank committee members for having confidence in me and accepted in their nomination that I'm leading the process. But as I've said, the process is a collective process. It's a process that is non-partisan. It's a process that all of us and all South Africans will count of our way at the end of our program. With those few words, I think, I don't know if you want to take us through the program. Senator. Or perhaps I should ask if there's any comments before.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. May I personally congratulate you on your, I won't say adoption, but election as Chairperson, because it was an election. And as you said, this is a committee that's going to operate on a non-partisan level, because we are dealing with a person who will hold a very, very high office in our country and needs to uphold the integrity of financial record and good governance in our country. Having said that, Chairperson, I don't know if you are now on item two, discussion and adoption of the program, because I think if we're looking at that, maybe we need to discuss very briefly when administration is going to be involved and when the committee is going to be involved. For example, if we're receiving applications, when we say receive applications, to what extent will all those applications be made available to the committee? And that kind of thing. Just the administrative side of it. Because we don't want something to be done in a back room when there's a committee. So I think we need to clear that right at the start of the process of how we move forward in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Any other comments? Dion?
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable George.
Also, I'd like to echo my colleagues' congratulations. Congratulations on your election, your position. I'm sure that you will chair it ably. I just wanted to make a comment, though, on the documentation we received, is that we did actually have an election for chairperson. But on the documentation we received, I will refer you to that page, actually makes reference to the chairperson as being Mr. Mufamadi there. That was actually before we had an election. So I just wanted to point it out as a point of process that appears to be irregular, although I have no problem with the outcome. So I just hope that this process, as Honourable Singh was mentioning, is that it will be transparent and open throughout the process. Because if the chairperson is already indicated on documentation before we even meet, that says to me that there is some kind of ongoing conversation, maybe, I don't know. And I think that that is not particularly healthy, given that we have to appoint the Auditor General, who occupies a very strategic position within our democracy, and make sure that our public accounts are effectively managed. So I'd just like to point that out, because I am quite vigilant of that. I mean, given the sign that's already in front of me. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Moropa.
Thanks, Chair, and also congratulating you for being the chairperson of this ad hoc committee. But also the issue that is raised by the member, I'm sure possibly it happened in hindsight. It might have been a part of what influenced, you know, maybe the thing, but the issue here is that we all concur with you being the chairperson, and possibly it's just another kind of an, you know, something that was, I don't know whether you missed it before or thought about it, you know, and while we're also thinking in our own individual rights, you know, but it came to become one effort process. But surely, yes, of course, it is noted, it will be corrected. At the time we were not still chair, but now we're properly nominated and elected to be the chairperson, and it will be corrected, that all documents that will follow through are the ones that will be recognized as the one that the ad hoc committee has actually approved and undergone the process.
Great. I think we've not had the consent, but I think it's in the spirit of constructive discussion and making sure that we don't falter as we move forward. Well, if there was a discussion before, I can assure you I was not part of it. Okay, can we look into the program? You have it before you.
Yeah.
But you have posed a question there. Probably, I would say, rather than to, it's not a question, it's a comment. What do you really propose about how we should actually handle? I think as a collective, we should then deal with that particular aspect, the administrative and the committee. You know, if we were to make some proposition around that, so that we take it as a question of the committee, you know, to end up with the part of this meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. You see, we probably would receive a number of applications, and there has to be a process to sift the applications. Because we know in the public service, you know, sometimes you ask for an auditor general, but with respect, you will get somebody who hasn't even completed matric applying for the job because of scarcity of unemployment and things like that, and everybody will cut them a chance, you see, and then they think they can apply. I think to that extent, there can be an administrative process, which will still be transparent, because we should have access to those applications. I think the committee should have access to every application that is submitted. But we could have an administrative team that points out to the committee that we received 500 applications, and of those, the 300, the qualification was metric or no BCom or whatever. Because normally in an advert you get minimum qualifications. And when I look at the advert, which we'll be discussing a little later, it doesn't kind of detail, you know, the qualifications that one must have, like a master's degree or a doctor's degree or something like that, because then it's easy to eliminate people. So I think we will have to come up with some kind of minimum qualification of individuals when they apply. It has to be accounting and auditing kind of qualification together with experience. So those are kind of things that I think we need to grapple with as we move forward. But maybe we don't have to decide now, Chairperson, but it's something that as the process moves forward, we'll have to know how is the sifting going to take place, who is going to do it, so that at the end of the day, we don't want to see an application somewhere else. Somebody say, but I applied and what happened to my application? And we'll say, well, we don't know, we didn't see your application. So I'm just, you know, I can't give you a definite way forward, but I'm just saying that we need to apply our minds in the next week or two as applications come in, as how this process is going to unfold. Thank you.
General,
members are released from their full-time committees for the purpose of dealing with this important task. And I would tend to concur with what the Honorable Singh is saying, that maybe what we need to do for the purpose of transparency is for the committee itself to go through that lengthy process so that there shouldn't be any comebacks to somebody saying, I don't understand why I was dropped from the list. Yes, we could then drop those who don't meet the criterion as stipulated within the constitution. Because the second challenge I think we're going to face if we come up with some minimum qualification, it's not going to be an easy one, given that the constitution of the constitution already, if you look at the alphabet, it already alludes to the fact that the candidate must have. The candidate must have specialized knowledge or experience in auditing, state finances, and public administration. So I think the challenge is how do you then come up with the minimum qualification? Because somebody might argue, and I might support, but which is might not be according to the legislation. I would tend to argue that the person, and this is my individual view, which I'm not going to support, but I'm just expressing for the purpose of developing the argument. One might say, for a person to be considered as a Auditor General, that person surely must be a chartered accountant, an admitted chartered accountant. So, and then it also presents its own other challenges. Somebody said, no, but I'm not an admitted chartered accountant. I'm registered with an institution. There's an institution where internal auditors register. I can't remember that institution quite well. They don't register as chartered accountants, but register with that institution of internal auditors. So I'm just saying, maybe we should punish ourselves, Chairperson, and not take shortcuts as the committee. Commit ourselves that we have to go through that lengthy process of sifting through all the applications for the purpose of transparency, so that nobody should feel that there was a process of leaving people out. And then those who don't qualify, and I agree with the Honorable Singh, the person who has got matric, the administrative process can throw it out, but give a full account to us that these are the names. These are the 50 candidates we've thrown out. One, these people didn't have the necessary experience and the necessary qualification. And therefore, we believe this person has just completed a BCom degree as a student, is not going to be suitable for this purpose. And that's the reason why we have excluded them. But there must be a full motivation from the administrative staff why they excluded certain candidates.
Comfortable
with that?
Yes.
Says Sheila.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, I want to congratulate you for being elected and having the support of all of us. And I also appreciate your emphasis on the fact that in this committee we will work as one. It is in the best interest of our country, so there will be no party politics. I just want to remind ourselves that a committee of parliament, parliament is the highest institution in the land, and we must display that knowledge of issues in the Republic of South Africa or anywhere in the world. The person who possesses best knowledge of accounting and auditing is a chartered accountant. I'm an accountant. You're referring to the Institute of Internal Auditors. I'm also studying towards that, but I know everything else falls under the chartered accountant is the highest qualification in a court of law in South Africa. If you are talking about financial issues, the words that stand must come from a chartered accountant. What we add is that we are adding that is a chartered accountant with some experience, of public accounting. But the basics, you can't have
member of the Institute of Internal Auditors or myself, a member of Certified Bookkeepers, passing judgment over issues of oversight in the country. Work that is done by chartered accountants, because we know for sure that the Auditor General actually employs the service of chartered accountants in the provinces, in the different areas. Thank you.
Maybe before you make your input again, I just want to make sure that the secretariat has just informed me that in the organizing of this meeting, there were also indications of people who might want to leave by a particular point. So that we don't stretch ourselves. I want us to conclude this meeting as a full complement of the committee. Just wanted to sensitize you on that.
Thank you, Chair. I'm one of those people, so I won't. You can be rest assured that I won't drag it. But I think what Honourable Stoller says, and Honourable Lockwood, begs the question of whether or not, in the advertisement, one should not have something to the effect that a chartered accountant or equivalent, because even in the public service, when you know they say a degree, or there's a M something something, you know, there are equivalents to a degree, which can be a diploma and things like that. And maybe before we put out the advert, we should try and take advice on this from the Public Service Administration, who are the fundis in this kind of thing, or somebody else, and leave it to the discretion of the chairperson to round robin us, and because we can't come back to and have a meeting now to put out an advert, but to round robin us on the question of the minimum qualification. Because Honourable Stoller makes a very important point that, you know, chartered accountant or equivalent, then you know, people who are not that will not apply.
There's a proposal, Honourable Members.
Your Chairperson, I support it, like I've said. I mean, I would exactly support the view of having the minimum qualification to be a chartered accountant. Support that, but at the same time, one has to be guided by the legal team that's here, because the Constitution states very clearly, a person must have specialized knowledge of experience in auditing, state finances, and public administration. Whether that qualification on its own is sufficient, or we want, I mean, there's no harm if we strongly feel in the committee that the minimum qualification that we want from this person is an admitted chartered accountant, I'll support it. But I'm just saying legally, so that we should not be found to be at fault. If there's no legal impediment from us stating a chartered accountant route, I'll definitely support that. Because all the auditor generals that served this country can recall, from Shrekit Faki to the current auditor general November, the DAG, the deputy, all of them were admitted chartered accountants, as far as I recall. So maybe that's the minimum standard we must put. But as long as we get clarity from the legal people whether there's no other implications if we state that minimum qualification.
Why don't we, rather than defer this matter? Because if we agree that we've got a very tight time schedule, we may not afford to postpone this matter. I'm not, English is not my first language, but just listening to your inputs, I think we should find a way to agree,
yes,
on the minimum qualification, mm-hmm, underpinned by what is here.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum chartered accountant
or equivalent, which gives us a door,
with
open door.
The following.
Yes.
Yes.
I think we should agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agree?
Yeah.
I think good. Those of you who speak good English, you'll work on this. Okay, I'm okay?
That's right.
Senator. Okay, good. We agreed on that, Honorable Singh.
Yes.
Honorable George?
Yes,
you're with us. I just want to make sure that
you're with us. Check the Constitution.
All right. In terms of the time frame, the question that you posed, terms of how are we going to sift, to what extent or at what stage will the committee members be directly involved. I think we've somehow resolved that part by saying, given the criteria that was used to guide the administrative process, but whatever was thrown into the melting pot will get to the committee. All of us will actually walk out of this process fully understanding and committed to the outcome that we have gone through, because we have all participated without any doubt of what we've done as a committee. All right? Good. Now, the time frame is here. I think we've agreed on the principles that underpins the time frames. And therefore the advent through this round robin thing, the final part of it in terms of the qualifications as we agreed, will then be circulated as quickly as possible. But I think we must agree as a committee that the administration must still go ahead and work towards getting the advent so that by this weekend there is something out there that the club will begin to respond to. Okay?
Chair, I think where we advertise is going to be important, and in which papers. I know there are national papers or whatever it is, but let's give as many people as possible. And we always hear complaints in Parliament of people in rural areas and this and that who don't have an opportunity. So maybe even if we have to use public broadcasters to say, because this is a very important position, so that should be considered by the committee. But having looked at the advert, Chair, I think there's another faux pas on the advert right at the bottom from Ronrock, who it's issued by. I know it's issued by the chairperson of the ad hoc committee, but it's not that individual. That individual is now deputy minister.
Yeah.
So one can understand this was prepared in advance. So I think that needs to change. And chairperson, I don't know, when we say nomination application for appointment of auditor general, do we have to say South Africa anyway?
It's a law.
There's no way here it says, did I look where it says RSA or South Africa? I'm just as a general point. I mean, I'm looking at the advert. Yeah, it doesn't say anywhere here that it's a South African auditor general. I don't know. Because we just received this now.
Chair, I think on that matter, we can just confirm and say we include South Africa. It's just proper to do that.
I think here, Johnny must help us, because I think the correct designation that's always stated in the correspondence from State Control and Auditor General, I think it's written as AXA, Auditor General of South Africa.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then my second point, Chair, is unfortunately we didn't bring our Public Audit Act. I don't know who's got it yet.
Yeah.
Can I just say, you know, the role of this committee, when you look at conditions of employment, it says in accordance to the provision of the Public Audit Act, and the National Assembly may recommend a person for appointment by the President. Is that what the Act says? This advert says now, and I'm just trying to see with what the Act says, says in accordance to the provisions of the Public Audit Act 2004 and the Constitution, the National Assembly may recommend a person for appointment by the President for a non-renewable term. Isn't it an obligation that we must recommend to the President? Because if we may, then the President may not take our person. So I think we just need to look at some of these things here a little more carefully, and then the date as well, Monday, 1st July, you know. So those things have to be re-looked at.
Unfortunately, I would have to concur a lot with the scheme. Unfortunately.
We want a long time.
Because we have worked together in the study committee on Jotana. May is optional, is discretionary, and I think the constitution is very clear.
the National Assembly must recommend to the President. The President doesn't just sit and say, I like that candidate. The President has to confirm the appointment of the, we have to apply his mind on the recommendation of the National Assembly of that person.
So it's a must.
It's a must.
Yeah. We'll take it from there.
So when do you get this name? When this was. Okay. All right. Let's not amend. I'm not in the
right. So, okay. I was not on record, so you didn't hear what I said. Okay. Any other comment on the iPad?
Chairperson, I think the last issue we might have to apply our mind a bit, it's the issue of nominations, because the advert is talking about nominations. Is that what this committee wants to go for? I must say I've got some bit of discomfort about the process of the nominations. People must apply in their own individual capacity and consider, you know, we should open up the committee to views of lobby groups or various stakeholders. That compromise the, in a way, indirectly, they compromise the independence of this institute. I would say people must just apply in their own individual capacity without nominations.
I think in the advert, we should not have nominations. It's the applications. People apply in their individual capacity. Because at the end of the day, they have to account as individuals,
yes,
not on behalf of certain constituencies or organizations or institutions, whatever. Okay? I think that's a very, very important point to end that note. Any other? And I hope the Secretary that you're noting all these changes that we're affecting in that, to that.
The date, Jefferson.
The date?
Right at the bottom, that will change, that nomination must reach the committee secretary, Johnny Ramrock, not later than 16:30 on Monday, 1 July. So yeah, we've passed that, so. We will put a date, I don't know what date is that going to be. We'll determine a date.
Yeah. Let's pass that one.
Yeah.
Let's pass that one. When we deal with the actual name. Okay. We'll see how we factor that part. Okay. Let's just pack it by note, John. All right. Any other? I think with the advert here.
Just one question, Chip. You know, with so many people that apply, you know, I've seen it before. Now, is the committee going to respond to everybody and say you're unsuccessful? Normally, adverts say if you do not hear from us by a certain date, then. But we can get advice from Public Service Administration on that. Otherwise, now it means you're going back to everybody and say, hey, but you didn't come back to me and say, I'm not successful, or I haven't been considered, or I haven't made the cutoff. So if you don't hear by a certain date, that means you were not considered for further, you know, for interviews or whatever it is. Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
No way.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Recommend
that it takes
that. Yeah. Yeah. No, some of that is. I'm not highly opinionated. If you don't go back to them, or you do not indicate that you will not come back to them, you'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
Mm. as a chairperson to look at it again. And they must try and follow the Act as closely as possible, because the Act is very explicit on the role of this committee and must appoint and things like that. So rather follow that instead of putting our own words to the advert.
Dr. George, chairperson. Thank you very much. Just a question. It says on this incorrect advert, Monday the 1st of July as the closing date. Now, what is the closing date that we're going to give? Because we're saying now, make the corrections and let the chairperson have a look, and then it will obviously go out. Am I right? So we need to agree what the date would be, I think. Thank you, Chair.
I did address that point to Dr. George, with honorable as a prefix. That when we deal with the actual program, we need to factor that part. It's going to influence the closing date. But you were busy twittering, so.
No, Chairperson, the reason why I raise it here is because we are saying we finalised the advert. We have not in fact finalised the advert because we haven't been finalised the date. So I just want to make sure that we cover everything, because we are saying to the chairperson, you will see it and then it will go. That's the point that I'm making, Chair. I was quite aware of what you said, Chairperson. I was checking the constitution when I was on my phone, just to make sure that we didn't actually do it incorrectly. And it was in fact incorrect, because it must be must, not may. Just for the record,
Honourable Dr. George, we're on the same wavelength. What I'm saying is, when we finalise everything, as much as we're saying we're finalising the contract, when we deliver the program, we come back to the advert and say, according to this program, what it means is the data we must accept. And I said to him, must know that. Okay. So we're on the same wavelength. We're done.
Just on this point, can we look at the calendar then and say, you know, if it goes out on this, by the weekend, which is the 19th of July, and we allow 2 weeks, 14 days, then 2nd of August is the date by which it must come back, very latest, to the committee. And it's within our time frame, 29 July to 8 August, receive applications. And then we can just go through. So I'm just suggesting 2 weeks after this Friday, which is reasonable for people to apply, which makes it the 2nd of August. No later than 12 noon, 2nd August. Is that unreasonable?
Is it okay? All right. I think I've resolved 7 of us. So we pass the advert.
Yes.
Right. Can we go to item number 3? We somehow dealt with both. Or any other comments around the two items? Some people have not said anything. And there's a new chair, one to hear the voices from other people, but it's fine. We still have about 3 months or so to work together. Okay. Honourable members, I think if we have concluded the two or three very important items for today, we should not prolong the sitting because we've got other things to do. But I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you. And I want to say we're going to rely heavily for this process on the administrative capacity that this committee is going to have. Content-wise, it is going to be ourselves. In terms of what we want to go and whatever we want to recommend at the end of the day. But having said so, I think we are a team that can work together. We have been together in different portfolios, as I said earlier on. And I want to thank you very much. Thanks for convening quite a number of us before we came here. Thank you very much. The committee meeting stands adjourned until further notice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.